private contract screeners at airports. What makes them better? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Bob Poole, who is the founder and director of transportation studies for the Reason Foundation. Reason Foundation is, I guess, generally accurately described as a... No, Bob, help me with this. Welcome to the program. Okay. Describe the Reason
generally
Group.
Generally described as a free market-oriented think tank.
There we go.
And I will happily answer to that.
Bob, recently you wrote in your airport policy newsletter about an interesting standoff that may be brewing over TSA. John Pistole has provided what he calls a framework for unionization, collective bargaining for transportation security officers to move forward. AFGE obviously has been positioning itself rabidly for this day and is probably very, very happy. But at the same time, he has told airports that they are not going to be allowed any longer to opt out of using TSA screeners in favor of private sector screeners beyond the 16 airports already doing so. And I guess my question is, aside from being an obvious pander to the unions, how can you get away with this considering the way TSA was authorized?
Well, that's a very, very good question. I was in Washington while the House was debating their bill and served as an advisor to the House, at that point, Transportation Infrastructure Committee, headed the Aviation Subcommittee, headed by John Mica, who's now chairs the overall transportation infrastructure. And they made a explicit point. It was one of Mica's priorities to put into the law that was a compromise between the House and the Senate that all airports, after the TSA was up and running for a few years, all airports would have the ability, the legal ability to opt out of TSA-provided security and go instead with a TSA-certified private security firm. And, you know, we have, as you say, there are 16 airports. There are a number of firms out there that have received that certification from TSA. Not clear at all to me that since this is in the statute, that the TSA can just arbitrarily say we're going to deny any further right to do that to all the airports that didn't do it so far.
John Mica obviously is angry and outraged on the outside. I have to think remorseful on the inside. I mean, he's one of the guys who wrote what became this dramatically bloated federal bureaucracy that's, you know, even he talks about how it swelled to 62,000 people.
Oh, yeah. He never envisioned it getting anywhere near that size.
Well, he seems to want to stuff the genie back in the bottle. I thought it was a little disingenuous of him back when, during the holidays, the pat-down slash enhanced screening debate was going on, to suggest that airports should walk away from TSA and get private security because they'd be bound to do the same things.
They absolutely would, just as the airports that are now in the opt-out program, like San Francisco and Kansas City, Rochester, and so forth, are all required to do the same exact, they will be implementing, if they haven't already, the body scanning machines, and they're required to do the pat-downs as an alternative if people refuse to go through the body screening machine. So, yeah, I mean, it sort of presented, it looked to a lot of airport directors, airport boards, as if this would have been a way out of that intrusive scrutiny, and it wasn't. On the other hand, I mean, I sort of suspect that Mica saw the unionization push coming and certainly the airport directors were paying attention, and they knew that too, and wanted to try to give them at least a way to escape from that, such that their screening would be presumably more responsive because, you know, the companies have an incentive to get good marks and get their contracts renewed and expand their business because they get good recommendations from the satisfied airports that have them. And not a single airport that's gone with the opt-out has ever dropped it because they have been very satisfied.
All right. If you're an airport management team, you know, if you've paid attention or been in the business for a while, that travelers get an impression of your airport that is difficult to divorce from individual components such as the security screening experience.
Exactly. Even though the airport is not responsible directly at all for any of how the screeners behave.
Right. But nevertheless, there is an incentive for an airport management team to get in place the best functioning security system.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That leads me to believe that if there's going to be a challenge to this, there could be an airport. I'm looking for, you know, an entity big enough and with a deep enough legal fund or on staff legal team to challenge this. What would their recourse be if they're going to call the TSA on going against the law as it's written?
Well, it would depend a lot on what the fine fine print says in the original act, the Aviation Transportation Security Act that was passed in 2001. It might be there's some weasel wording in there that says unless the TSA deems that national security is blah 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 blah, that then they could override this. That kind of language might be in there. I have not gone and read all the many pages of that legislation. So the first thing their attorney would have to do is read it all and see what degree of wiggle room it actually might allow TSA. But then even the wiggle room would presumably be justified only on some kind of national security grounds. And I'm sorry, the administrator, Pistol, did not cite any real national security grounds in making this pretty arbitrary-sounding decision.
Tell us what the downside, Bob, is of union TSOs. I can think of a few, but you've obviously studied this closely.
Right. Well, the reason that Congress originally, in creating the Department of Homeland Security, of which TSA is a part, explicitly tried to rule this out as something that would be run by unions is that the flexibility that you typically want to have in a rapidly changing environment of aviation security, where a new threat can arise, where you need to move people around, tends to be at odds with civil service work rules in general, but much more specifically with the kind of provisions that labor unions typically seek to get for their workers that, provide all sorts. They want to move people around. Well, you have to, come and negotiate on that. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you don't want in an environment like security. And there are other federal security workforces. I don't have it in front of me, but there are several other federal security workforces that are explicitly prohibited from unionizing for that same kind of reason.
Well, when Pistole announced the framework, he said he included a number of things that would not be subject to negotiation. He also specified that these workers would not be allowed to strike or engage in a work slowdown. I kind of chuckled at that because my mom was a teacher, and I remember very early yes. as a young kid learning what a work-to-rule protest uh-huh. was. Uh-huh. I can't help but think that if TSOs want to slow the line will slow down.
They will absolutely be able to do that, and I think this is a lot of wishful thinking. I mean, it's very nice to put those provisions down in writing. But the history that we've all observed with labor unions is that they can do a lot to gum things up if they're dissatisfied and unhappy and want to and don't feel they're getting what they want through normal negotiation.
More from Bob Poole on life with a unionized TSA in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation about TSA Administrator John Pistole's announcement that TSA employees will get collective bargaining and that no more airport opt-outs to private security firms will be allowed. Bob, you had a segment of your last newsletter called Five Good Reasons to Outsource Airport Screening. Mm-hmm. One of them, you pointed out that there's kind of an economic shell game going on. The satisfaction of the traveler seems to be higher with a private security firm. The government says that it's more expensive by 9%, but that's not apples to apples.
No, it's not. And in fact, the reason we know that is that the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, took the TSA to the woodshed. Back in 2007, the TSA actually had commissioned an outside study by a consulting team to compare the performance, the cost and performance of TSA screening with the outsourced screening. And that report never saw the light of day. It was never published because the TSA didn't like the results. The results were that the screening was at least as good, if not better, in, based on the 3 years of data that the consulting firm studied. And according to the way the TSA keeps the books, the outsourced screening was 9% more costly than TSA screening. But the GAO said, look, TSA budget doesn't include things like workers' comp, general liability insurance, retirement costs, which come out of the federal budget, but they aren't accounted for specifically in the TSA's budget because apparently they, you know, that's overhead or something, and they don't count that. So we don't really know. It's my guess is that it's probably less costly for the private firms, but we don't have the numbers available to show that. But this this fact that TSA covered this up and wouldn't release, never released the report, and only the GAO, because members of Congress asked the GAO, and the agencies have to give stuff like that to the GAO when they ask. That's the only reason we know that that study even was done. But this points out one of the other reasons that I cited, Paul, for separating screening from the TSA altogether, if we could, is that it's really a conflict of interest. TSA, their job is to be the policymaker and regulator for aviation security in this country. And so they regulate airlines. You know, they tell them that they put what they have to do in their planes. They have to give first-class seats to sky marshals, et cetera, et cetera. They regulate airports. They regulate pilots and so forth. Every aspect of aviation, TSA regulates. But then you have screening, which is plumped in the middle of an airport and is actually operated by the TSA. So it's in contrast to everything else where TSA is at arm's length. The screening is TSA's own guys. And so their natural bureaucratic incentive is to not deal with them at arm's length, but to, you know, try to make sure they look good to the public so that their budget gets approved or increased by Congress. That's a conflict of interest, and that's a wrong design in my view.
Well, it explains a lot, too.
yes.
Compared to back over the holidays, when this was just radio talk shows that wanted to break away and talk about other things kept getting pulled back to this topic of screenings and pat-downs by their listeners. And it was
yeah,
amazing.
And I kept getting asked to be on talk shows during the holidays, which I did.
Well, I guess in the time since, this seems to have subsided to a dull chronic ache. Is there some concern there that this is just becoming part of the tapestry now?
Well, yeah, I think that's one, you know, people that travel a lot get used to it. You know, we don't like it, we grit our teeth, but there it is. On the other hand, though, I pointed out in some of the blogging discussion in December that only about a quarter of the body scanning machines that TSA has on order are actually in place and in operation so far. So, I mean, the average passenger may well, certainly the average non-frequent flyer, probably hasn't yet encountered one. The majority of them, I'm sure, have not. And so my guess is that as this year progresses and more of the traveling public actually goes through these things or opts out and gets the indignity of the aggressive pat-down, I think we'll see more outrage and that will support the possibility that Congress will actually step in and the 10th anniversary of the creation of TSA this year will decide it's time to overhaul their creation and put it on a shorter leash.
Well, Bob, I appreciate your insight into this stuff and your explanation of some of these details. Thank you for making some time for us today.
Thanks very much.
Bob Poole is the founder and director of transportation studies for the Reason Foundation. Find out more and find links to subscribe to Bob's monthly airport policy and air traffic e-newsletters at reason.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.